It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. This morning, NASA's New Horizons spacecraft passed fewer than 7,800 miles above Pluto's surface and is sending back pictures. Images taken just before today's flyby have already revealed plenty of surprises about the mysterious dwarf planet, as it's now classified. I'm joined now by Carissa Sedor. She's assistant manager of the Buell Planetarium at Carnegie Science Center to talk about what these latest finds reveal. Carissa Sedor, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
If you have a comment or question, things you are wondering about Pluto as this all takes place, 412-246-2002, the number to call. Again, 412-246-2002, ESSPGH at WESA.FM, and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Carissa, we are having to wait for the pictures that were taken this morning, which is frustrating to people, you know, used to going on the internet and finding images, finding information immediately. Why the delay?
So we have this frustrating little thing called light travel time that we don't really have to deal with a lot here on Earth, because Earth is pretty small on a cosmic scale and everything's really close to everything else. But when we talk about bigger distances in space, we have to wait longer for that light to travel. It travels at 186,000 miles per second, which you think is pretty fast. But when you're talking billions of miles, we have to wait a few minutes, a few hours. So the light travel time to Pluto is about 4.5 hours. So it takes 9 hours round trip to send a message to Pluto and get something back from it.
So the information will be available soon.
Yes. So right now, New Horizons is busy doing a lot of science. It's doing a lot of scans of the Pluto system, taking a lot of images, doing a lot of spectroscopy. At about 4:30 today, it will turn back to Earth and it'll start beaming a lot of data at us. And so that means at about 9 o'clock this evening, we'll start to see some of that information.
One thing we have already learned from this mission is Pluto is not the size that we thought it was. What can you tell us about that?
So it's always been kind of hard to measure a lot about Pluto. We haven't really had the resolution to really measure it perfectly. So with New Horizons, we're able to get closer. We're able to get better resolution than we've ever had and make some more precise calculations. So we're finding a lot more about the size of Pluto and also the size of its moons that were somewhat of an even bigger mystery. So with the cameras on New Horizons, we're able to take these really precise calculations.
And what else have we learned from the images and from what New Horizons has gathered that differs from what we thought we knew about Pluto?
One of the most exciting things to me is the surface features of Pluto. From the images we've had before from Hubble, it had looked like it was covered in haze, that it was very smooth, and it was hard to make out any features whatsoever. And we've realized as we've gotten closer that there is a lot going on the surface of Pluto. There are dark areas, there are lighter areas, there may be some impact craters there for us to look at. There may be some mountain ranges. There are a lot of really amazing features that are coming into view now. And hopefully later today, we're going to get some stereo images, so we'll actually be able to map out some topography and see, like in three dimensions, those surface features.
And one of the things that we've seen already that has caught a lot of people's eyes, and NASA, based on the shape of what looks like a heart on the surface, is saying that the planet has sent a love note back to Earth. And I'll show you the image that I have. It's not such a great one, but it's got this little heart-shaped thing sort of down toward the bottom of the sphere. And what is that?
So that was something that kind of surprised everyone, too. And we're still trying to figure out exactly what it is. From what I was reading earlier today, initial calculations tell us that it might be a large area of carbon monoxide ice. So we think it's a very icy, flat, like desert-like area. We're still doing a lot of work to figure out exactly what it is, but we're finding out that it's probably a lot of carbon monoxide ice.
412-246-2002 if you want to join our conversation with Carissa Sedor. She's assistant manager of the Buell Planetarium at Carnegie Science Center, talking about Pluto, talking about what we've learned, what we're about to learn. If you have questions, for example, why is it a dwarf planet instead of a planet? This is something that came up a few years back, but we might have forgotten exactly, you know, why that designation was changed. 412-246-2002 is the number to call to have all of that clarified by Carissa. And I would ask, again, let's go back to that whole history there. there was a guy named Clyde Trumbaugh who discovered Pluto 85 years ago. And as far as he was concerned and everybody else was concerned, it was a planet. And then sometime within the last, what has it been, within the last 10 years,
they
decided, oh, nope, it's a dwarf planet. And, you know, it was like one of the planets in our solar system. And so now we've got, you know, the planets and then the dwarf planet. So how did that happen?
Yeah, this has been a hot debate for 10 years. It hasn't really slowed down. One of the main reasons that the discussion started to come up is that we started looking out beyond Pluto into an area called the Kuiper Belt. It's an area of icy objects, a lot like Pluto, some of them a lot smaller.
They call this the third zone of the solar system.
That's right, yeah. So it's an area that's past all the major planets, and it's still a big mystery to us. New Horizons is actually going to give us some good insights on it. But the more we looked out there, the more we started finding a lot of other pretty big objects, some of them almost as big as Pluto. So it kind of rose the question of how many of these should we call planets? Where should we draw the line? And it's a lot of it is kind of arbitrary, almost what you call it. We like to categorize things in science. It helps us when we are determining what we're going to study, when we're going to study it. So we started to find a lot of other objects. And I think a lot of people thought it would be easier if we created this new category to fit all of these new objects into.
Right. We've got in the third zone, the first two being the rocky planets like Earth. And then you have the gas planets. Hey, who doesn't love a gas planet? Jupiter and the other... Saturn, I guess, would be another one. And then beyond that are the ones that are part of the Kuiper Belt, like Pluto. James from Bay County has a question. Hi, James. You're on the Central Pittsburgh with Carissa Sedor. Go ahead with your comment or question, James.
Carissa, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, Carissa, what's powering the New Horizon?
New Horizons is powered by, I can't remember the exact name, but it is powered by plutonium in it that creates a lot of heat. So I think it's a thermonuclear radiation that they use. So the heat created by this plutonium, it vibrates a little, and they use this heat, they translate it into electricity that's going to power New Horizons. So actually it was kind of poetic that they're sending plutonium, which is named after the planet Pluto, to Pluto right now.
But, yeah, that is interesting, and that's purely a coincidence, apparently.
Yeah, it just happened that plutonium was the right element that they needed to use.
Now, I guess there's speculation about what is beyond Pluto, and Pluto's cold, obviously, because it's farther from the sun, so thus the colder temperatures, the ice, and I guess there's some snow on the surface as well. So beyond Pluto, is it possible for other bodies to exist? And what will this mission tell us about what else is out there?
Absolutely. You know, we're very excited. We found some, you know, that space water that we have on Pluto, a lot of frozen water ice even. What New Horizons is going to look for now that it has already done its flyby of Pluto, it's going to move out towards the rest of the Kuiper Belt. And I believe there are about three candidates for other Kuiper Belt objects that New Horizons could possibly fly by if it's approved by NASA. So these are smaller objects. They're about 20, 30 kilometers. So New Horizons is going to explore those as well.
So, more missions to come, perhaps, beyond this one to Pluto. And we've been talking about the New Horizons mission to Pluto with Carissa Sedor, Assistant Manager of the Buell Planetarium at Carnegie Science Center. Carissa, thanks so much for joining us.
I'm very happy to.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. Tomorrow night, 90.5 WESA is holding a community forum on the impact of the Americans with Disabilities Act on our city. As technology progresses, how should policy evolve? The forum will take place here at the Community Broadcast Center. It'll be broadcast on 90.5 WESA starting at 7 p.m. And immediately following that will be a special 25th anniversary of the ADA edition of Essential Pittsburgh. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.